Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
Yo. Good afternoon, beautiful people of South Africa.
What's up?
You are chilling with the worst guys. My name is Malcolm Julia. I'm your host for today. I got the crew in the building as usual. Yo, bruh, let's tell them what's been going on in your lives, man. Tell me what's going on. The people want to know. Rhea, what's been going on, brother?
All right, I'm first up.
Yo. Let me start off by saying I love my life.
Oh, yeah. Why not, dog? This shit is beautiful, man.
You know, it's beautiful. Following your dreams, pursuing your passion has never felt so rewarding like this ever.
Yeah, why do you say it? What's the most recent thing that's happened that's got you feeling all sprung on your life,
boy? Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks to you for listening up, and thanks to us for actually putting on a good show. We've got a permanent slot.
Yeah, that's some pretty dope news on our side. You know, the worst guys, we are now coming to you live from Cliff Central every Wednesday from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. So, yeah, man, it's our first time out here. We're going to have a dope conversation as usual. We just want you to holler at us if you have any input to give us on the conversations that we'll be having. The number to dial is 0861-555-189. I'll give you that number again. It's 0861-555-189. So yeah, let's holler at the other homies, see what's been going on in their lives. Susie, Somanda, what's your story, bro?
Hello, Mark. How you doing?
Somanda. I don't know. I feel like because I call you Susie on a regular basis, because we're friends, we can address it now. We can say,
let me come clean. Let me come clean with it. Okay. Susie is a nickname I acquired in high school.
Yeah.
I fucking hate it. And none of my friends will ever let me live it up.
Yeah. It's one of those nicknames you can't deny. Like, you know, I mean, I find it hard to call a grown man Susie, but I've become so accustomed to it because people won't let it back you.
You know what's the ironic part?
What?
Girls love it. I don't even get it.
I don't know. Maybe it's because it's feminine, Susie.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mandla, just get it clear.
Just get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So Mandla and Dooley, how's it hanging, bro? How's life been
treating you? Dude, I feel like I'm in a hurricane, you know?
A hurricane.
Life's crazy. Everything's beautiful. It's mad chilled.
It's a lovely day outside as well today. It's sunny. I was like, today is just all about the bliss.
It was getting a bit nippy, but it got up.
Yeah. We're all about the positive vibes, and I'm liking it here. Loiso, tell us.
How's it?
Easy living. Always good, bro.
Always good. I wish I had something exciting to say. I guess we can start with the show because all I've been doing is assignments. So let's get going.
You need an escape. Well, this is your perfect escape, ladies and gentlemen. You just come here, listen to our podcast. If you're going to the gym, if you're going out and you're in traffic, you know, no matter what, we're always here to keep you company. We're the worst guys. So if you want to join in the conversation, holler at us on Twitter at @_worstguys. Or you can holler at cliffcentral.com. That's their Twitter handle. And you can engage in the conversation. So one more time before we get right into it, the number to dial is 0861-555-189. So, gents, today I've got something, a relatively serious topic. You know, just as young black youths and, you know, the registration. I saw the registration for elections next week, I think the 9th and 10th of April.
Yeah.
That's when the second phase. Yeah, the second phase. Because I actually begrudgingly didn't go to the first phase of registration because I'm thinking about my stance on voting, right? It's obviously a very important thing. Well, the way you think about voting is very important, but I think we also need to think about it critically because on the one hand, for me, the idea is that we put into power people who we think are capable and are best capable out of all of us. Not just the people who are in power at the moment. Out of all of us in the land, you elect the most, the best, the coolest guy for the job. Barack Obama is a perfect example.
The guy with the most swag.
Yeah. He's essentially like the coolest guy in America, and hence he's president. So that's what we want, right? And for me, I find it tough to find that in our leaders, in our politicians. So a lot of the time I find myself asking, what is the value of voting? Can I go to you first, Lois? So do you vote? Do you value it?
Well, I certainly value the idea. I personally haven't voted yet. I was overseas during my first time of eligibility. But I think judging South Africa's history in particular, I think it is important for everyone to vote because, you know, the march against apartheid was kind of masked or highlighted by us as black people saying we want the right to vote. You know, so I think that now we finally have that chance. I mean, look, you should vote for somebody.
Am I compelled, though? This is my question. Am I compelled to vote because of the struggle and what my ancestors went through to get the vote? I understand that they struggled for the freedom of the vote, but surely with that freedom comes my right to not vote, to abstain and say, okay, I'm glad I have the freedom to do this. I'm very glad that I'm not living in apartheid.
No doubt.
But I'm also glad that I can now say, okay, this is what you've given me. This is what you've presented. And I don't see any candidate that's worth my vote.
No, you're quite right. Because, I mean, if it were any other country except South Africa, I'd say, look, if you don't want to vote, then don't. But, you know, because of those circumstances.
Yeah.
And also because, I mean, if you, whether you pro a particular party or not, I mean, each individual's vote, especially black individuals, makes a difference.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it is important.
And we're also going through this sort of revolutionary time in our country as a people. I think things are starting to change rapidly. Susie, Somandla, you see, it's happening again. Somandla.
Don't stress
me. Yeah. So any opinion on voting? Do you vote? Would you vote?
I personally have not voted yet.
Yeah.
And I've gone through a shift. I've been on the fence most of the time. Like, I've been on a point where I say, don't vote for me, personally, because it's been a waste of my time to keep up with politics when I understand that it's a distraction.
Okay.
There's so many distractions that go on around it, and trying to keep up can feel like a dead-end chase.
Yeah.
So that was my standpoint from it. But now that I'm working a bit and I'm seeing, you know, when you're still in school, you don't understand that you actually have power to change things and influence stuff. Mm. But when you start working, you realize that, you know, you can make things happen in things like politics and who's in power and what benefits who. Those things start to matter.
Exactly. And the thing is for me is that I understand, general rule of thumb is that a politician is a liar. Basically.
Oh, yeah.
General rule of thumb is that a politician is a liar and the government is going to be corrupt regardless. You know, some governments just know how to hide it.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, we're not so great at that at the moment.
we're 10 years in. Let us know.
Yeah. It's very open. It's very out there, which makes it seem worse than it actually is. It's bad all around. But I'm saying other countries have problems too. Other countries have corruption too.
Yeah, dude. Massive corruption.
Yeah. So for me, I just know the system itself is broken. So why should I participate in a system that's broken that my change, even if I impact a change and the party I vote for comes into power, odds are I'm still going to be trapped by what they, you know, regulate, what they say. And they could change over time. You know, the ANC wasn't the same ANC it was today 20 years ago. Over time, they've become hated, despised, you know, to the point where we don't even want anybody else in the ANC to run for president because we just need a completely different shift of leadership. So for me, it's hard to find that somebody who I can say is the guy. Is there a guy, let's say, because we're in the ruling party now, let's say we're talking about the ANC, is there a guy after Zuma's finished his terms in office that could take the reins from the ANC and build it to become a better party or something like it was in the past?
I think it's progressing at such a speed. Like, everything that's happening in politics within the ANC currently.
Yeah.
Is just, the ANC goes through splits all the time.
Okay.
All the time. And it just leaves a divided party. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, Lord.
Yeah, I don't even think that's the important part. Within the ANC, it's clear that there's two factions. There's the Zuma side, the pro-Zuma side, and the anti-Zuma side. And at this point, all we need is for the anti-Zuma side to take over, regardless of who it is. That's the situation we're in, you know?
Yeah.
As for a certain individual, I mean, I wouldn't even know as long as he's anti-Zuma. I wouldn't even know.
Yeah. So Cyril Ramaphosa. Okay, look, this is how I see it playing out. Let me tell you how I see it playing out. Zuma's setup, his setup is so dope right now. He's set himself up comfortably because he's done his two terms. He's built his mansion.
Young man.
He's ready to go retire now. And now, if Nkosi
he's already pensioned, so he can draw down.
You see, exactly. He's living the dream. So now, if Nkosi Zana Zuma comes into power, next in line, he's free for the rest of his life. He's never going to be accountable for any of the corruption lawsuits that have been charged against him been dropped. So I think that he's trying to build a legacy there. So when we're looking in the NC, I think we need to talk about who's the next best to block out, you know, a Zuma dynasty. Because if I'm being honest, the NC is still going to be in power for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
And just
yeah.
because they have the numbers. And those numbers are going to take at least 20 to 50 years yeah. to overturn. So let's say with the ANC as the leading party going forward, who's the next best? Who's the next best guy? If we're gonna have the ANC anyway.
Well, look, I think it's also very important to remember that within the ANC's manifesto, it's always been written that the vice president becomes the next presidential candidate. Like yeah. it's just the ANC rules.
Yeah.
So. What's important is to determine whether, you know, Cyril Ramaphosa, because he's our current vice president,
yeah.
is on the Zuma side or...
okay, I think he's in the whichever side gets him to be president.
Because by the rules of the ANC, he's going to be the next president. Unless something happens.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, which is always possible.
Yeah, very much possible.
Yeah, yeah,
I'll be honest, I don't have a specific person that I'm looking at,
yeah.
but I do have a specific criteria that I'm looking for.
What's your criteria?
And the biggest criteria for me is I want someone with an experienced business acumen to okay. run the country. You know, we need to start treating the country like a brand, how it is.
Someone with financial knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah.
Just understanding of, you know, schools are a business, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So someone that has the fundamental, like, capability...
Yeah.
To perform those jobs.
Hey, and these inflation prices, guys. Samantha might be right.
Really expensive, like crazy, man. I can't even deal with it. That's why I'm skinny, bruh. And people always ask me, why are you so skinny? Why don't you eat? Because food is expensive, bruh.
Hashtag two meals a day.
Hey, dog, one is fine. You just need, like, bread and then maybe some chips and in the evening. Dog.
And the way skinny boys swag and trap you quick.
Hey, dog. The thing is, it's a lifestyle, boy. Especially when you're in Joburg, you're hustling, pushing, pandering,
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, yeah,
you don't have time to eat, bro.
Bigger guys are out.
Yeah, it's out of now. Fashion.
The phase was there, and then now it's like.
No, irate women really still are into, you know.
The buff boys. But that's because coming from a buff guy, you're trying to defend your people. Yeah.
No, it's not even that, bro. It's just. It doesn't even have to be fucking large, really.
Yeah,
it
just gotta be some yama.
The thing is, you need to look at how often you have your damn shirt on in the day. Like, it doesn't even, you could be buff, dog, on the beach or at the gym. When you go to work, wherever, put that shirt on.
You don't look
so buff anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why I get my shit tailor-made.
Okay, so going back to the fact that shit is so expensive now. Everything's out of control. What can my vote do? Do you vote Cesare? Do you have any
nope.
idea of who you'd vote for? You don't vote?
Nope.
Is there a particular reason?
It's gonna sound selfish, but like ever since the whole politics situations, well, since I've been born and shit, my life hasn't changed, man. I'm quite chill.
You're quite chill. That's the honest truth, because on a day-to-day basis, our lives pretty much stay the same.
Exactly.
You know, for the most part, except the prices and stuff.
Yeah,
but
I was just about to say that what doesn't stay the same is that kind of the systemic stuff that impacts us in the long run.
Yeah, but you see, that's what we have no control over, even with our votes.
Yeah,
and even if your party fucks up somehow, for example, your party fires a minister unnecessarily. That's your party. Like, the people who voted for the ANC are still suffering from the fact that our economy is so shit. You know, now the poor people who want to travel overseas have, firstly, they thought they had zero shot, but now their shot is like below zero.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just the thing of we can't let the powers that be determine our daily lives, because either way they do. You know, you had no control over the decisions that Zuma made, even if you had voted for the ANC. You know, so what do the poor people do? What can they really do besides revolution, to be honest?
No, no doubt. And I think back to your original question is of whether we should vote or not. I think it would actually make an impact because of the way the numbers and the demographics are set up in South Africa right now. If people just didn't go vote, it would make a huge difference.
Yeah.
If, because
we didn't reach quorum for
Exactly. Yeah. But obviously, like I said earlier, because of our history, I mean, that's almost unlikely to happen, no matter what the scenario is.
But what if our country just had to shrink, like the whole country just had to shrink?
Just refused to vote.
Anarchy, I guess.
On a for real note, though, I think what we need to be doing as a country is building a voting culture. Yeah. It's sort of, it's the backbone of democracy, and by us not voting, and whatever our reasons are, we are, if this is the general attitude of the majority, then we are, in a sense, endangering democracy.
So we need to shift our mentality on voting.
I think, okay. Yeah. I think we're all learning. We're damn young, dude. You know what I'm saying? Our democracy is damn young. We need to grow and evolve and see what works for you, what doesn't work for you.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that, because I've also been like you. I've been on the fence for a long time. I did vote. I did vote in the last elections when I was eligible to vote. So, and it was cool, but you see, I voted. And
who'd you vote for?
I voted for EFF National, and I voted for DA Local. That's who I voted for. You know, because I like the vision of the EFF. I like the vision, the fact that, you know, the only way to change, to inflict real change, is to mobilize the working class.
Oh, and on that note, congrats to Malema, who graduated yesterday.
Oi, let's give our boy Malema.
No, that deserves a round of applause. That deserves a round of applause.
What a boy. The boy Malema getting an education.
See what happens
when you are not. Yeah, and he's fought in the struggle from the beginning. He's been there. But I mean, like, that's my limited opinion. You don't ever really know what's going on inside, you know. I almost feel a lot of the times there's almost this mafia business going on. You know, documents just end up going missing from institutions, etc. You know, they go stolen. It's like, who's running this shindig, bruh? Maybe it's just the Guptas. But yeah, let us know what you guys think about voting. I think it's important. I do vote, and I think I will vote again. You know, I was just trying to think critically about whether I should or not, you know. But yeah, that's our opinion. Just don't forget to highlight us on Cliff Central at cliffcentral.com or at the underworst guys. And the number to dial is 0861.
Try again.
The underscore worst guys.
Yeah,
that's what he said.
No, he said the under worst guys. What is the
under worst? Let him slide.
Hey, this
is our name, right?
Pay those bills, man.
0861-555-189. Okay, so just moving on to something a little lighter before we go to the break. I've been watching a lot of TV lately, you know, since I've been unemployed, lying on my couch.
Unemployed.
Unemployed. The one and only. The one and only. It's the dream. But yeah, there's a lot of dope TV and movies and shit coming out. Can I tell you something? Actually, we had this conversation, I think, earlier in the week. We were talking about Beasts of No Nation.
Oh, amazing movie.
Incredible movie. I'm not going to give you any spoilers. But it's a dope movie starring Idris Elba and the young kid. What's his name again?
Oh, I completely forgot. But a young kid, 16 years old, from Ghana.
From Ghana, starring in Beasts of No Nation, and it's a completely black cast, mostly because it's about, you know, army militia, and the kid is a refugee essentially, and is trying to find a way home essentially. And we are just thinking, just going back to the whole Oscar So White story. After watching that movie, it was so good that I could not believe that it didn't get a nomination. But when I saw the cast, I could believe why it didn't get a nomination. Because it's essentially a completely black cast. And it's not to focus on the race issue, but I mean, like, it's surprising that something that good could just get overlooked. Because there was another movie, Joy.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about Joy. It's a movie with Jennifer Lawrence. Lawrence. Like, she creates a mop. And it sells as the most legendary mop ever created or whatever.
Yeah.
And she got nominated for an Oscar for that. And that
a movie just, about a mop.
Yeah. That really just does it. I was just like, wow.
It's the concept, guys. Come on.
The concept. You're telling me movies about mops sell more than army, militia, children, rebels.
Talking about the real stuff.
Yeah, dog. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, TV is dope. And even if we won't get acknowledged by external institutions, what do you have to say?
You know what is dope right now? Music.
music.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel you, but I think we kind of talk about TV for now. We'll get to music
and TV, like music videos and stuff. That's where my...
Yeah, yeah. That's where you live. That's where you live. No, but I wanted to talk because everybody has like top five TV shows.
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that. Or your greatest TV shows that you've ever watched. What would you say? Give me one TV show off the top of your head.
I would say the South African Parliamentary Channel. Well, I'm gonna put this one out there because I know it's gonna come out anyway. So I guess Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad is one of the top.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, my number one is Entourage.
Oh yeah, okay, I mean
no. Entourage is my shit, boy. Entourage is the number one.
Which one of the guys are you?
Well, okay, I'm Vinny Chase. Cool, calm, and collected. But I wish I was Ari. That's my
the agent.
Yeah,
the
Ari Gold. I wish he's an animal, man. He's just a beast inside. Why are you saying that? Who you wanna be, though?
Turtle.
Vinny Chase. Yes, sir. You're a turtle.
We can't have more than one Vinny Chase, guys.
You're a turtle. Shit, you're turtle.
Hey, I'm not turtle.
Who are you?
Tom.
Unfortunately, I'm E.
Oh, yeah. But yeah. E's not a bad character. But
yeah, but I hate him.
But he always gets fucked over.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, but he gets the girls, though. He gets the girls. Hey, he knows he's the goat, man. So let's go. So Entourage is up there. We've mentioned Breaking Bad.
I think we have to mention Game of Thrones, surely.
Game of Thrones, yeah.
I'm not such a fan, eh?
Why? What bothers you? A lot of people say the incest.
I think it's the fantasy thing.
A lot of people aren't like
when you're into it,
you think, oh, everyone must like this.
Yeah, it's so cool.
But then some guys are like, no, isn't it that olden day dragon?
Yeah, there's no dragons in real life kind of sentiment.
Suits.
Suits! Not in your top five, boy. No. Suits was dope. Suits are dope. We obviously all loved Harvey Specter. And, what's her name? Donna.
Yeah,
I think the age old argument is Donna or Rachel. Wait.
And there's another one that I loved. What's this? Misfits.
Misfits. Yeah, that was cool for like the first three seasons. Yeah. The first three seasons I enjoyed Misfits. But yeah, what else was there? Okay, so we have, Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad, Entourage.
I fuck with The Fixer.
Hey, you see, you're coming with
Scandal. Otherwise,
Scandal. Just chill, dog. Don't give out people false information. We want to tell them good shows to watch. Mad Men has to go up in there for me.
Okay, Tyrant is hella.
Okay, I feel like we're never gonna get to a top
yeah,
five.
Okay, yeah, let's just let it be. It's a very subjective topic.
Like most
Prison
things.
Break is there as one of the classics.
Yeah. But it's like music. When you were talking, Susie's music's also very subjective. I mean, there's no, you can't tell me what's good music, and I can't tell you what's good music.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, anyway, that's it for us on the first half. You are with the worst guys. Just holler at us on our conversation. We have more in store for you later. Yeah, we're about to take a break. Check you out in a minute. Oh, wait. Yo, we're the worst guys, and we're back in the building.
What? Happening.
Yeah. What's going on, beautiful people? It's always good to be chatting y'all with y'all, having fun. You know, we're always having a dope time in the studio. Just before we took a break, we were talking about, you know, TV shows, etc., and what's out and what's dope and what's not. And obviously, that's all subjective and all. But you know, we kind of had a thought about how valuable TV is these days, or let me rather say, the internet.
Yeah.
The internet is kind of like a new place that we live in entirely. It's a completely different world. You know what I'm saying? So I almost feel like you have to have access to it.
Oh, no doubt.
In order to develop, in order to grow, in order to do anything really, you have to have some sort of access to internet. You have to be able to email, Twitter, social media is big these days as well.
As highlighted by the constant search for free Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Everybody's all, wherever you go, if there's free Wi-Fi, everybody's hustling for that password.
Hey, what's your Wi-Fi password is it?
Yeah, exactly. So what do you think? So much the internet as a human right?
It is a basic necessity.
Yeah.
We literally, right now, what we need to be cutting out as a country is the technology divide.
Okay.
And the gap. Because everything was good to say, like, there's a divide in inequality of money, and but if you have the internet and it's made cheap and it's made accessible to everyone, yeah. Look at places like America, opportunity opens up because a random 16-year-old kid can hop on the internet, put up a mixtape, and all of a sudden he's signed and his life's changed.
Yeah. So this is what I'm thinking is that I don't know much about science and all what the technology's evolved to be, but could the whole world just not become like a Wi-Fi hotspot. You know, he said like a satellite out there, and then the whole world is just it's constantly under Wi-Fi.
No, but it's fiber optics.
No, that's what I'm saying. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
Mark's got a point. I mean, again, we don't know about the logistics, but
it's possible, surely. Like, possible. If you can.
But remember, we live in this world called capitalism.
Yeah, they're trying to make the money, obviously. Because if you can see me and my car where I am from there, wherever I go, surely you can set up a young Wi-Fi for the Poichi. You know, the pass would be
It doesn't even have to be unkept, just at least a gig for everyone.
Per week.
Like, imagine that happening, and with all the access to the internet that we'd have, like, how much more we'd be so advanced.
Yeah. Like,
the growth would just happen so rapidly thereafter that, because we'd be sharing knowledge easily. Everything's so much more accessible.
Yeah. But I feel, do you think if there is other life form out there, which I think there is, do you think they're more advanced than we are, on the same level? Or, you know, if they came here, we'd see them as aliens, but they'd be like, hey, but you guys, you don't know what's potting at all there.
No. I believe humans...
Are the number one.
Dude, you're mad. Easy. Aliens are light years ahead. Light years.
I feel like you're so excited to hop on and tell us your theory there, Samantha. What do you have to say about it?
Bruh, look at us trying to go to space. It's like our greatest accomplishment as human beings.
Yeah.
And if we're reporting that we're seeing life on other planets or other spheres, imagine what's going on in there. We happy because we grew the first plant in space.
Yeah.
Them niggas is eating up there. There's niggas getting itis in space.
So you don't think the humans are the greatest beings to ever exist in the universe, which I don't agree with either.
Not a fuck. We are a tiny speck.
Lisa?
I think they aren't as advanced, and only because of our human arrogance. I mean, what business do we have trying to find out what's in space?
Yeah, can we not just take care of our shit here? Because I mean,
we can't breathe up there. That means we're not supposed to go there.
But Vic Chacharach, we're getting too excited about shit. We just need to chill out, sort out the issues that are going on here. You know, don't worry about space, bro. Space will take care of itself. But yeah, we're talking human beings. We've advanced a lot with the internet age. And a lot of the times I feel like people live a double life, and I feel like we've all succumbed to it at some point, where the image you portray of yourself on the internet, for the most part, is not exactly what your real life is like. I don't know if you guys have noticed this on social media. Twitter especially is like the number one for selling fantasies.
Yeah, for selling dreams.
Instagram as well. I'm not a big Instagram person. You can tell me more about that, Lou.
Look, it ties in with this whole thing about wanting to be, you know, as popular as possible.
Yeah.
So you're going to post or you're going to tweet or whatever, you're going to Snapchat, whatever else there is, about your best moments, the moments you want everyone to see. So, but you're not going to post yourself
when you drank outside, the bar, chandering or something.
Or if you're doing a daily thing like taking a shit, you're not going to
just taking it down. But people take pictures after they're done, presumably, you know, after seeing so many toilet selfies.
Some women take it while there's still the deuce in the toilet.
Really. Yeah.
I've seen a meme like that too. I was like, what the fuck?
You saw her and the deuce in the bathroom.
Yes.
Her selfie angles are insane, bruh. Yeah. You know, like, some people know how to take selfies out there.
I think what Loy was referring to is like how the youth are having babies like left, right, and center, bro.
Yeah.
And then they post that they know they're in a shit position, And then they post up nice pictures like, oh, my angel.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
No, I'm like, I know
babies
when
are
they're
a gift, man.
Come yeah, on. Shame. We trust the soft side of someone.
I know they are a gift. But at the same time, you know, at 3 a.m. in the morning, they're not a gift.
Yeah.
Dog, some homie picked me up. Some homie gave me a lift to work from work to home the other day. And this nigga's like, can we stop over at Checkers? So I'm like, alright, cool. This homie goes and shops for nappies, dog.
I'm sure you were so shocked. Aye, that's a life that I want to avoid for as long as possible, man. But we were speaking about the internet and how it changed our interactions as human beings. You know, everything's so quick, everything's so fast. Like Snapchat, you can send a young nude there and you just see it for 5 seconds. Look, gone. Like, I think that's amazing. If you ask me, that's amazing.
You know what it is.
Until they invented the screenshot.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, the screenshot fucked everything up. But still, it's a pretty dope idea. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
Snapchat is the ultimate.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Wait, we were touching on Tinder now. Now, Tinder. I personally have never been on Tinder. I've heard stories.
Hey,
though.
I don't know.
I haven't been. On Tinder.
You see, everybody doesn't know anything about Tinder now. All of a sudden,
I signed up for a Tinder. Yeah. Because I wanted to see what was up with this.
Yeah, yeah. What was the wave about?
Then I got there and I was like, all these girls with boyfriends in my class are on Tinder. It must be a nice place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I keep hearing about people who meet people on Tinder close friends of mine. I'm like, this shit must be working.
Do you know that in someone's lifetime right now, you are so behind because you're not on Tinder?
what are the Tinder demographics? Like, if I'm looking for a cute black honey, am I gonna find her on there? Because I heard rumors that they're not around.
They're not around. This was never in your own experience.
Oh,
eh?
No, never.
Because you don't have the app, obviously.
No,
okay.
No,
like,
no.
Why would anyone have Tinder? You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know about these Tinder streets. Is that the good one? Swipe left is good.
I think it's right.
Okay. And then swipe right is bad.
And then you give bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I want to know from people who've been on Tinder. Please just tell us about it, you know, because, I'm not experienced. It seems like in this house, we're not experienced at all today.
Do you know what Tinder is like? It's like, you know, when you're watching porn and then they show those little pop-ups of like MILFs in your area.
Yeah,
it's
exactly
like that.
MILFs in your area.
Don't tell me you've never.
No, why you want to pretend like you don't watch porn, guys? Porn is natural, right? It's one of those things. But seriously, if you've been on Tinder, let us know, especially from the girl's perspective. You know, the number to dial is 0861-555-189. Tell us what's popping on Tinder or any other. Hey, I feel like we hear something there. Somebody wants to speak. Hello. Oh, okay. I guess not. But we're talking about your internet experiences and how you interact with, let's say, the other sex for now, or just people in general, like your Snapchats, your Instagram, your Twitters. I'm not an Instagram guy. I'd say maybe Loy or Ria, you guys are more, and Somanda actually.
But you're a Twitter guy.
I'm a Twitter guy. I'm a fan of words. You know, I'm a writer, so I like to paint pictures with my
words.
What
do you love about it? Telling people how you feel or telling people what your thoughts are on certain topics.
A lot of the times, for me personally now, when people meet me or see me for the first time, they see me as kind of a timid, quiet, like shy, good boy, virgin till he's married, never drinking, never smoking, which I was at some stage. I think we all were when we were kids. But Twitter's almost an escape for me to tell people like, hey, actually,
I'm lit.
This is what's going on in my head, you know. And I think a lot of it is also being able to be honest. And it's almost like a diary that I'm willing to share with people. It's almost like getting a tattoo. A tattoo is very personal, but it's also very exposed to anyone and everyone who meets you.
That's the good side of Twitter.
That's the good side of Twitter.
The bad side is, taking trolls aside, that's obvious. The whole guys becoming revolutionaries online.
Pseudo-revolutionaries. You know, there's
trying to find a fence in everything.
Yeah, there's this thing of woke Twitter. It's like, Everything you say can and will be held against you in the court of black Twitter.
Yeah,
especially
now you're no more tweeting your thoughts, which is what it
was originally for.
You're searching about something visionary you can tweet and then,
or how you know so much about, you know, black revolution or whatever, because everybody has the answers.
Yeah.
That's what I figured. Like, everybody has the answers and nobody has the answer.
Which is
you
why
don't have the answers, Sway.
You don't have the answers.
Don't know the answers,
man. Which is why I actually do prefer Instagram, you know, because for me, it's talking without having to talk, without having to put essays or whatever. It's just like, well, you know, this is me, you know, this is what I'm doing.
If
I post a picture of me, I don't know, with mates having a laugh, you can see what I'm doing. You can see what I'm feeling. You can see what the vibe is, you know. I just kind of prefer it. It's more lax.
There seems to be like a lot of pressure on Twitter these days. You can't cross the line or you can't make, but you see, that's why I take the piss, because some people take it too seriously. I just go there and I talk a whole bunch of shit. Sometimes it's crazy, sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's stupid, because that's what I think it's there for.
Yeah, but the sad part is there's no more humor anymore.
It's just offense. The thing is, I'm not a picture guy. For me personally, like taking pictures of what I'm doing and all that shit, I can't do it. Like,
that's why you're on radio.
Exactly. And maybe my face isn't fit for TV, bro. That's why I'm on these mics here, bro. Always running away from the camera.
But yeah, going back to your initial question.
Yeah.
The thing that social media and the internet has done for us is it's complicated the hell out of the love relationship.
It has. Cause it's one of these pseudo revolutionary, the people who know so much about like the politics streets and Fees Must Fall. And they also know so much about relationships and if he's dying,
it becomes
doing
a pissing contest
over
Twitter about who knows the most.
Yeah, it's like if you say your black girlfriend couldn't cook, you hate your mom. Or something it just goes too ridiculous, bro. And it is a pissing contest. That's what I don't like about it. But you're saying,
You know, man, this thing with people, you know, the 21st century is probably the craziest time.
It is, dude. This is an outrageous time to be alive. You know, it comes off as cliche, but wow.
And the craziest thing is infidelity.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And maybe it hasn't ruined our relationships, but it's just exposed the truth about what people are thinking and what people are doing. Before, nobody, there was no real place where people could exchange trade secrets. That wasn't really happening. But now when you go on Twitter, you're like, Kanti, when it's like this, this is when I know he's cheating on me or something like that. There's too much information. They'd say that. So you kind of defend yourself against anything that could possibly hurt you because you know what the potential outcome could be.
Yeah, well, ever since Facebook and everything, the biggest debate on the internet and about the internet has been privacy.
Yeah.
The levels of privacy are changing at such rapid rates. Like, people are losing their minds over what's going on in their lives that they'd like to keep personal and what's actually spewing out and spreading.
Because you can find so much information about anybody on Facebook. Like, if you just find out the name, boom, you've got their whole life, dude.
I mean, think about how many times you have to go through the schlep of... how many times you have to go through that whole schlep of going through the privacy settings. Now and then when you log on to Facebook, like on a PC, then it's like, let's just go through your privacy settings.
And because of social media, how many times have you got that... that call where we just like to sell you something. It's like, listen, where'd you get my number? And it's like,
I remember that line because that was what I used to do for a living. As you know, getting people to just, like, yo, you just find the name on Facebook, it's British. You're like, hey, okay, it looks like a prospect, a possible prospect. So our lives are all out there and there's no such thing as privacy anymore. I even know that 2/3 of divorces in the States now, they have the word Facebook involved.
What?
They have the word Facebook involved. Not necessarily saying that I saw him cheating on me on Facebook, but something happened.
Something happened on Facebook.
Some DM action or some wall action that the wife didn't really like. And she's like, what's popping here, bro?
What's happening is people aren't following the rules.
Yeah.
The girlfriends aren't following the rules. Side chicks, side
Keep it together, man. You know your lane, though.
Your
like,
friends are letting you down. It's like, why'd you post that pic, bro?
They know you told your girl something and now you're out here lying. Why are you always lying? You see, because I think a lot of the time you need to understand what your relationship is like. Hold on. So if you are the side chick and you know you're the side chick, you must keep to your lane. Sorry, we have a call right now. Hello, who's on the line? Hello?
Wait, hold on. Wait, are we on air?
Yes. Who is this? Who's speaking?
Hey, girl.
Yeah, who's speaking?
She ran away.
Oh, okay. I guess this is done now, whoever this is. Okay, we wanted a female perspective, but I guess we're not gonna get one.
Mark, you made the girl nervous, dude.
I don't know, like, why would you call if you're gonna be nervous in the first place? You know what I'm saying?
It's those serious chats.
Yeah, these are those serious chats. You know, this is not for the fuck boys, bro. There's men in this room, bro. Okay. So, but we're talking about, how the internet exposes you. We can't blame the internet, surely.
But to some, you know, except I actually believe that people are aware of how much it exposes you, and yet still they're willing to put up things that might put them in a vulnerable position.
Yeah. It's that Kim Kardashian effect, you know? I mean, you can make it on the on the internet.
You
now.
Can, you
Whether
can.
Whether it's from being a... well, the term is Instagram hoe. I mean, I don't know if they're actually hoes, but no, you know, there's people jump starting their careers by being that term, quote
Instagram
unquote.
Hoes.
Yeah, Instagram hoes. Well, now they're in movies, you know, they were just posting pics.
Started from the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's that whole aspect of things that you.
Look, I'm in advertising, and one of the biggest rules, and it's changed the game now, is that you're nobody if you're not on the internet.
Yeah.
You don't exist. And the thing is, soon enough, it's going to happen to human beings.
Exactly.
Your chances of getting a job are going to be so slim because you're not on
If you don't have an internet background. Avatar, a personality. This is the two double life that I'm talking about we're living.
And you that's what LinkedIn is slowly but surely starting to do.
They're winning. They're going to win.
Yeah, LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's a good way to connect people.
I was actually reading this book by the folks at Google. Yeah. It's called The New Digital Age.
Okay.
And one of the things they were saying is that they might have a rule like in parliament or legislation at some stage in the future that regulates that things that you said when you are minor on the internet, so pictures you posted drunk or smoking.
Yeah, drugs, yeah, yeah.
They won't be allowed to use it to be against you.
Yeah, man, because if they were, I'd be so fucked. Like, if I had a normal 9-to-5, dude, and they were to check out my tweets and all this shit, I'd never get a job ever, bro. Because I don't like to... live according to the status quo, you know. Yeah. And that's also another thing that the internet does, though. It gives you that ability to explain your narrative, you know, explore your narrative. The people who follow you, the people who see you on a regular basis on social media, they understand your perspective, they understand your narrative, and from there, you build a following of people who think the same way that you do. And then you kind of enjoy your social media experience more in that way.
I think that's what it's about, is what are you looking to get out of it? You know, because personally, all my accounts on all these social media apps are fully protected, you know, on private or whatever, because I want the people I know and my friends or whatever to see, you know, or whatever, hear what's going on with me.
Yeah.
But, you know, whereas other people would like to hear from, you know, people they don't know and just see what they're thinking on, you know, a certain topic or whatever.
So there's two different social mindsets.
It's also about understanding that it's the easiest way to get a hold of people. Like, if you want to stay connected with somebody that you went to varsity with,
like,
or to
school
with.
Dude, like, you can Facebook call.
Yeah, that's amazing to me, right?
I think one of the biggest, if not discoveries, just inventions of the 21st century is actually total control. Total control over your technology, total control over what you do in your life. You can pick, I want to talk to this person, I don't want to talk to this person.
You know,
that's the power of social media.
You talk about the blue tick effect. The blue tick effect is a real thing, man.
But, like, I feel like with the access to the internet that we have and the ability for people to connect more, you see more and more people becoming successful, you know, and making successes of their life. And making reference to Outliers, the book Outliers.
Malcolm Gladwell.
Which is basically a book that talks about how success isn't purely based on merit, but a series of fortunate events as well. They were talking about the technology boom that came around when Bill Gates and Steve Jobs were, you know, in their 20s, and how they were at a crucial age during that technology boom
in order for their business to grow in the way that it did.
To take advantage of it. Because if you were too old, you would have just been like, you know what, I'm already chilled with what I have right now. And if you're too young, you don't have the knowledge behind it.
So what you're saying is that the internet has given us that.
Exactly. And right now, our generation, you know, a lot of people you see, like, rising to the to the occasion or whatever opportunity is put their way. I mean, you look at a guy from high school and you think, ah, no, you know, that oak, I don't think, you know, his life is going to be so lit. But hook him up with a bit of Wi-Fi, my boy.
I'll give you the biggest example of what the internet has done and how crucial it's been. Right here in our own country, fears must fall. The reason that came together is because the links on social media amongst the youth is so strong and so tight-knit.
Yeah.
People before us have never had that. And, I mean, they've done great feats without the internet.
Yeah.
You have apartheid. But, I mean, you know, the boom of technology had a role to play in that, and the internet's just been the biggest.
Yeah. And I think that also just in conclusion, also just to your original point, yeah. I mean, I guess it is a right.
Yeah. So yes. Internet is pretty important. That's what I'm saying.
Because the positives far outweigh the negatives.
Yeah. And it's fundamental to being a part of society now. It's a part of.
But like, I think they started taking recognition of that fact, and I think they are. Surely they are.
They're trying to implement Wi-Fi zones like in the CBD,
in
Braamfontein, the whole of the CBDs. Yeah. You see, that's what I was talking about, just literally expanding that and making the whole world a Wi-Fi spot, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then there's also the whole talk about, you know, access to computers and all that. So it's a long way to go, but I think internet as a basic right is something that we really need to look forward to pushing towards, especially us as the youth, since we develop what's coming next. It's just the use of the internet and the impact it has on your personal life as well as your business life and what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. Because, you know, TV's kind of been phased out.
Yeah.
If you haven't. I think people just have TV because it's old-fashioned. Everybody used to be on TV. But it's not really, you don't really use it. What TV do you watch? Other than TV shows on your computer, I mean, like,
honestly speaking, I just watch the news and Super Sport.
So sports is basically the only thing we still rely on. Because that's the only thing I
watch.
It's
the only reason DSTV still survives.
Yeah, I can imagine, because their premiums are crazy.
Please, DSTV, let out a Super Sport package.
Yeah, but they're too expensive for what we're getting offered on the internet, like Netflix now being in South Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge advantage for us.
Yeah, it's DSTV is 3 times more expensive than
Netflix. Jeez, you see, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It sounds like we have a phone call here. Hello, who am I speaking to?
Nicole.
Hi, Nicole. Thanks for calling in. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
Hey, Nicole. Yeah.
Hey, what do you want to say to us? What's up?
I want to talk to you guys about how you think the internet has influenced relationships.
Yeah. How do you think it's influenced?
Why do you think that it's influenced relationships negatively? I feel like if your relationship is for real, though, then you have nothing to hide.
Okay.
It shouldn't be your enemy, you know what I'm saying?
That's true. I mean, that's something we could talk about. Now, I mean, like, okay, for me personally, it's not that you have nothing to hide. It's just you... Everybody knows that even if you are in a relationship, there are other people that you're talking to.
Exactly.
And you don't want to know what's going on until you find out.
I think it all boils down to, like, trust. And if you're going to go looking for something, you're going to find it.
Yeah. Because there's always some crumbs that aren't going to make you happy, even though it's not necessarily cheating.
And also, a lot of the times it becomes about what's out there in terms of you guys being in a relationship instead of what's actually going on in the relationship.
What people think they know.
I mean,
sure. But if you're comfortable enough in your relationship and knowing that your partner is speaking to other people, it shouldn't affect you.
Yeah. No, I kind of agree with that. We have one more response from Samantha before we let you go. Yeah,
Nicole, do you have a boyfriend?
No, I don't.
Okay. No, I just wanted to know, maybe you were trying to tell us something.
Okay, don't worry about what Samantha's saying. He's a bit colomental at times. But thank you so much for calling, Nicole. That's a very good point that you raised there.
Thank you.
We'll just chat about it a little bit now before we close off. Thanks, Nicole. Thanks for listening to the show, eh? Cheers. Bye. So, valid point. If you have nothing to hide, the internet shouldn't be a problem in your relationship. But I mean, you see the last.
Okay.
You see the people that your girlfriend's been chatting with. You see the people that they're interacting with on Twitter, all nice and cozy. You get suspect.
You know what the point I was trying to make by asking Nicole if she has a boyfriend?
Yes, please.
I think every girl has a backup guy, like we said.
Yeah.
So your backup guy can't always be shown on social media.
Oh, okay. So like a side chick kind of vibe. But that's what she's saying. That if there's honesty in the relationship, there is no.
But is there something wrong with a run-up?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. If you're in a relationship.
Well, clearly, according to this whole Kalani, Chris Brown, party mixture, who else is involved? Kyrie Irving.
See, people just don't know their lanes. That's why that's just a debacle. But yeah, but before we finish off, I think we've had such a dope conversation. Thanks for y'all who've been listening. We're just going to be telling y'all about what the worst guys are going to be getting up to in the weeks to come. And yeah, you guys can just follow us @_worstguys on Twitter. You know, Cliff Central @CliffCentral.com. Holler at us there. Tell us what you think about the show. It's been a dope first one, I think. Yeah.
First official one.
But let's tell you, so the worst guys, what are we doing? What are we doing next week?
Next week, Thursday, the 7th of April, we have a comedy show. The third one, I think.
The third one at Giles Restaurant in Craig Hall Park.
And it's been mint.
Yeah, so far it's been dope.
If you like laughing, if you like having a good time, come fucking turn up with
us. Yeah, come with us. Come with us to Giles Restaurant on the 7th.
And you can keep up to date with everything that we're doing on Facebook at The Worst Guys.
Yeah, and also lastly, myself, yours truly, Mark Mvili, will be performing at The Box in Maboneng on Sunday, the 3rd of April. So you can come check out The Box in Maboneng. It's a really dope vibe, whole lineup of comedians, and yeah, we're going to kill it for you, yo. But from my side, Mark Mvili, being your host with The Worst Guys, it's been a dope session, and we out.
Cheers.
Peace.
We love you.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.